to Empower Her, where it's all about empowering women to prioritize their mental health and to cultivate motivation in and through their lives. I'm your host, Jessica Copeland, and each week we'll dive into topics like overcoming self-doubt, managing stress, and finding our purpose. So please join me on this journey to enhance your mental well-being and to embrace a positive mindset. Let's empower each other to thrive. Again, welcome to Empower Her. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Empowering Her podcast show. I am your host, Ms. Jessica Copeland, also known as Jaunchy Fabia, and I am better known as Jess. Good, happy Monday morning, everybody. I know life is still being disrespectful to us, but continuous patience. It will get better because we will get through this thing that we called life. We have to make a choice, right? And we have to decide how we will react to any given situation. If you are choosing to complain and think negatively, your natural reaction will be to dwell on the negatives of each situation. So don't you do that, because when you actively choose to think positively, regardless of how absolutely ridiculous it may seem or sound, you will turn your situation into a development plan for your growth, and you will get through this thing called life. Again, welcome. Thank you for tuning into the show. The show does come to you live every Monday starting at 7 a.m. sharp. You can catch me on all of my platforms, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Podcaster Spotify, as well as Stitcher, Pandora, Kindle, Alexa. I do have a website. It is www.empoweringherpodcast.com, as well as my email, empowerherpodcast24. @gmail.com, and the phone number is 386-233-1956. Y'all continue to like, continue to share, and absolutely continue to subscribe. What's going on, y'all? It is Monday morning. It is almost the month of May. We have flown by April like it was nobody's business. I blinked too hard, and now May is approaching us, and I am just so over time, because time waits on nobody. It does not wait for us, just like life being so disrespectful. It does what it wants to do, but we just have to make that transition to either get on board that train, or we just let that choo-choo go on by us. Whatever the situation is, it is becoming a new month, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I will be doing a full month of mental health, and I do have about one or two guests that I am going to come on to the show to talk about some mental health. Y'all know that's my passion, that's my baby, because I suffer from it, right? I still do. And it took a long time for me. And y'all, excuse me, my voice sounds like I'm a whole man. But that's what happens when you wake up in the morning to bring y'all some good stuff. Yeah, I didn't let my voice breathe a little bit, but that's okay. But back to Mental Health Month. I take pride in that, because I suffer from some things. And like I was saying, there was a time that I was embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want people to know. People probably had an idea because of the mood swings and how distant that I used to be. Treat other people. When I say distant, like just keep my distance and just like go into this cave. And I'm learning, y'all. I'm learning to tackle it, and I'm learning to try to come out of that shell. My wife, good morning, wife. She's helping me with that. And let me say this. Let me put a little fork in the road. And I know I just jumped right into everything this morning, but that's okay. Let me apologize to anybody that has been affected by my introvert issues. Because one minute I'm loving on a person, I'm talking to a person, I'm engaging with people, and then the next, I just stop. And it's nothing to that person. It's not that you've done anything to me. It's just a part of introverts. And I want you to understand that if I could change it overnight, I would have changed it over 50 plus years ago. And I can't. I do this with not only people that I, friendships, I do it with family. And it's not intentional. I do it right in my own home. Sometimes I just don't want to be bothered. The other day, my wife called and she got off a little early. And she called me. She says, "You want to go have dinner?" And I said, "No." And she said, "We're going to have dinner." And I said, "I don't want to go." She says, "I'm on my way home. Put on some clothes and I'm taking you out to dinner." And the struggle, y'all. Oh my God. It was such a struggle to get up and get dressed to go to dinner just to be silent. Now, mind you, I had worked all day. But in my mind, I did not want to be bothered. And so I'm healing. I'm healing from the introversion. So I just want to put that out there because I do that. That's who I am. Am I proud of it? Am I boasting? No, I'm not. Am I claiming it? No, I'm not. A lot of people, "Oh, well, you're claiming it." I'm not claiming it. I can't just walk away from it. I'm breaking the cycles. I'm in the transition of breaking cycles of the introversion. And I told y'all last week that my children, some of my children suffer from that. You know, my mother, good morning, mother. Y'all tell the mother of the podcast, good morning. My mama will tell you that she battled with it. Some days, weeks, sometimes a week or two, I can go without speaking to my mother, which is not a good thing because you should always check on your loved ones. My brother said something one day. He said, "We should always check on each other. We should always see about each other." And that is so profound, brother, because that is so good because I'm bad at it. So y'all just continue to pray my strength as I grow through this because I'm going to get through it. I keep telling y'all life is disrespectful and I can't help what was handed down to me, but it will stop with me. I'm breaking the cycle of that. But yes, you guys. So month of May is Mental Health Month and I will be bringing you so much insight as far as things that I have not covered in previous podcasts that we're just going to dive into. But enough of that. So let's talk about something really quick before I go into my affirmation and other things. So I have been being asked all over, how did I lose weight? Let me say this. It can become a little offensive sometimes when people come up to you and say, "How did you lose the weight?" And I am just a person that does not have the need to lie about it, right? I don't have to lie about anything. And so I'm just so forthright. And I let people know, hey, you know, I was very overweight for my BMI and I was getting married and I did not want to be in a size 26 wedding dress. Hello. So I decided to reach out to my physician and I requested something to aid in helping me lose the weight. So I started taking the Ozempic, the Wegovy. And I did it prior to my wedding. I did it for 2 months and I lost. I was a size, I think I was like wearing, I'm not giving my size, but I was wearing like a 16, 18 and I wanted to be like a 12 or 14. And I managed to get a wedding dress that was a 10, 12. I had to have it altered because when I ordered it, it was the Asian 10, 12. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I had to have it let out a little bit, but I did lose weight. And so I only did it for 2 months and I started eating differently. Now, y'all know my weight fluctuates, right? Because I have been a pescatarian. I have been a vegan. I have been a vegetarian. I have done so much countless workout ethics to try to maintain, but I am going through what we call menopause, and sometimes menopause, and I've been going through it now for the past, it's going on about 8 years. And what happens is that you get a lot of bloating, you get a lot of swelling, and your weight does fluctuate. And so I have not been on the Ozempic since my wedding, and I am still losing the weight. So someone came up to me the other day and they said, how did you lose the weight? And of course, I tell them I did do Ozempic, but I'm no longer on the Ozempic. I try to eat, but my stomach won't allow me to intake a lot because I am, like I said, I am still going through menopause, and that's symptoms of the menopause. Just do your research. But some people just, you know, they just make comments and they say certain things. And let me say this. And I think I said this before. We have to be very mindful of what we're saying out of our mouth. Okay. I'm wiser. I'm getting stronger. I'm not there yet. But I understand that when you see Jessica, I'm the Jessica that everybody knows Jess, right? They'll see me and then they don't, because I don't rarely come out. We went to this seafood festival that our community had, and I hadn't seen a lot of people, and people just like were wild that they saw me, one, and that I was so tiny. And so I just want you guys to understand that the old Jessica would have been so offended about the gawks and the comments and the stares and all of that. But listen, y'all, I am still a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. You may never know what someone is going through. Excuse me. And if you see me and I don't look like the person that you remember, instead of saying something that can be so offensive, just say, I'm praying your strength. I pray that everything is okay. How are you? Is everything good? Allow that person to pour into you and to allow them to tell you what they are dealing with if they choose to do that. But for all of the naysayers and all of the nosy people and all the people that want to know other people's business, I did do the Ozempic for 2 months prior to my wedding. And it is very costly. My wife had to pay a pretty price for that stuff. And I just, you know, I don't do it anymore. I don't take it because I don't like these side effects. It makes me nauseated. I don't eat. And I love to eat. I just don't know how to eat properly. And I'm teaching myself how to do that. But y'all just be mindful of that when y'all see people that you just don't recognize them because you don't know what they're dealing with. Okay. Just be slow to speak and slow to your thoughts about how they're going. All right. So, again, I do have that new ebook workbook that is on Kindle. You guys go pick that up. I am still working on my new book. It will be out really soon, and I will let you guys know the title of that. I read somewhere this weekend that a person said, you don't have to tell everybody what you're doing. And that's something that my mother would always tell me. She said, you don't always have to tell your business. Stop telling people what you're doing. Sometimes people can pray for your downfall. Mm-hmm. Move in silence. I told y'all the other week, I said, I let y'all know what I want y'all to know. Some people say, oh, you're an open book. No, ma'am, I'm not. I let people know what I want them to know. And if I don't want you to know it, you won't know it. But whatever I do make available to you, I ask that you just take care of it with your heart, because you don't get a lot of that often with Jess, because Jess is very, very, very private person. Just because you see a lot of pictures and videos and stuff like that on social media, it doesn't mean that you know my life. You do not know my life. I let you know what I want you guys to know. So just be mindful of that when you form unsolicited opinions. And that's with anybody that you're dealing with. All right. All right. So I'm going to dive into this topic today because it is very, very, very lengthy. And I'm going to try to shorten it as much as I can, because I know y'all got to go to work. I got to go to work, and we got to get this week started. But just bear with me. I'm going to bring the affirmation and we will be back. And oh, wait, I'm missing it. I'm off this morning. Y'all, I'm off. I don't know why I'm off. But It's affirmation time. It's the best time. Y'all already know. This is the best time of my life. I don't know about, you know what? Maybe I need to open up the phone lines and find out what's the best part of your life. The best part of, one of the best parts of my life is affirmation, because that's the time that I can just affirm over me. Yeah, I don't affirm over nobody but me. And if my wife asks me to, I'll do it for her. But I do this strictly for me. Why? Because I have to. Because if I don't, nobody else will. I've learned that over the years. You got to see about yourself. A wise preacher told me a long time ago, he say, stop having people pray over you and learn how to pray over yourself. Good morning. And when he said that to me, that just stirred up something inside of my spirit. And I just stopped letting people. Now let me say this. I don't mind being prayed for if the prayer is authentic. Hello. But I have just learned how to pray over myself. Speak over yourself. Encourage yourself. Donna Lawrence said, in the Lord. But you guys, I'll be right back with today's affirmation.
It's affirmation time. It's affirmation time. It's affirmation time. Go ahead and let your greatness shine, because it's affirmation time with Jess.
All right, you guys, I am back. I am rejuvenated and I am ready for affirmation. And before I go into affirmation, let me get a shout out to all small black owned businesses. Y'all support black owned businesses. Come on, let's support. There was a lot of businesses out there this weekend, and I typically don't need much. I have everything that I need, but when I see Black-owned businesses trying to get their hustle, y'all, I get excited. And so my wife and I, we pour back into small businesses, because that can be us one day. And we want people to invest in our businesses. So if you see a Black-owned businesses, whether it's out and about or on social media, y'all support them, because the struggle can be real sometime. And it was a pleasure being able to support this weekend. There's a young lady by the name of Miss Keisha. She knows who she is. She calls me her auntie. And I'm always supporting this young lady because she supports me, her and her mother. I've known her mother, Miss Kenya, for a long, long time. And she has a business called Sugar Scrubs. And I always buy my scrubs from her. Thank you for my scrubs. You guys reach out to her if you want more information about her. She is on Facebook. It is the Sugar Scrubs. And she got some smells that will knock it out the box. And honey, I loved all of mine. I purchased some for me and my granddaughter this weekend. And I absolutely love it. So support small businesses, y'all. But enough of that. Let's get to the best part. Now, today I am drinking me some chai tea because my voice is very raspy. I haven't been singing. I don't know why it's raspy. I do know why it's raspy. I'm lying. I have allergies, and I have not been taking my allergies medicine because I have went on a holistic journey. I am trying to venture off from a lot of things. And y'all, let me just say this. I have stopped drinking. I have, you guys. It's going on a month that I have said no. Well, about 3 weeks. I'm lying again. About 3 weeks. I said no to the liquor, the wine. I've said no because I am on a healing journey. And a part of that healing journey for, excuse me, you guys, give me 1 second. Thank you. A part of that healing journey is putting down those things that can affect my inside. And one of the things that I just declared that I did not want to drink anymore. And some of you know, I do suffer from grand mal seizures, and I have a medical card where I can go and get the medical stuff that we take, like the gummies and stuff. And I used to take that as well. And I have stopped all of that. I've just wholeheartedly stopped because I'm on a healing journey. And sometimes healing is embedded inside. And sometimes we have to be careful what we allow to go inside of us. Hello. And so I just made that conscious decision to let those things that were a distraction for me, It may not work for you. That's your business if you choose to drink and all of that. But I heard someone say, I was on TikTok and I heard a woman who was in her 70s that looks like she's 40. She says, the best decision that I ever made was laying down the pipe and the drinks. She says, I feel rejuvenated and I can walk boldly as a 70-year-old woman looking like a 40-year-old woman. And that's where I want to be. I don't want to look aged. I want to look better. And so some of those things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. Ooh, that will preach. But you guys, yeah, just continue to pray my strength. And if you are new to my website, I typically do not talk about spirituality and stuff like that. I try to navigate away from that, but I will not ever navigate away from my Lord, Savior, Jesus the Christ, because he is everything to me. But thank you for joining if you are a new listener and a new subscriber. All right. So yes, I am drinking some chai tea today. I have a little bit of agave because if you know me, you know I don't do sugar. And I am going to get my sip and then we will dive right into this affirmation. Give me 1 second. All righty. I am worthy. That's it. That's the affirmation, y'all. Y'all want me to say it again? I will. I, Jessica, I am worthy. There's no prerequisites to worthiness. You're born worthy. And I think that's a message a lot of women need to hear. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can I say that again for the people in the back? They didn't hear me. There's no prerequisites to worthiness. You are born worthy. And I think that's a message a lot of women need to hear. That came from none other than a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful African-American woman that I have brought on before by the name of Miss Viola Davis. She is an American actress and a film producer known for her work across screen and stage. She has received numerous accolades and is one of three artists to achieve both the Triple Crown of Acting and the EGOT. Time named her one of the 100 most influential people in the world in 2012 and 2017. She was born August 11, 1965. That will make her 58 years young in St. Matthews, South Carolina. She has an Academy Award for Best Actress in Supporting Roles, and she has more. It's just so much. I just can't even go into everything that she has. She does have a husband, and she does have one child, and she said it the best. There's no prerequisites to worthiness. You are born worthy. And I think that's a message a lot of women need to hear. And that brings me to my topic. How I, Jessica, overcame the nice girl syndrome. And I know what y'all thinking. Is this such a thing? Let me tell you something. It is. And I had it. I had the idrum. I had the syndrome, I had it. And I am still working on it. Nice girl syndrome. Nice girls suffer from the disease to please. They put their needs behind everyone else's. That came from a young lady by the name of Beverly Engel. So what is it? Well, I'll dive into it, but I want to ask you a question. Do you often find yourself saying yes to things you don't really want to do? I'll wait. Do you prioritize others? I'll wait. Do you prioritize their needs and their feelings over your own, even at the expense of your own well-being? I'll wait. Because that was me. If you answered yes to this, then baby, you are suffering from the nice girl syndrome. You are. So what is it? The nice girl syndrome is a behavioral pattern that is characterized by the tendency to constantly seek approval from other people. You avoid confrontation and you suppress your own needs, your own desires in order to please other people. Y'all gotta stop. Y'all gotta stop. We have to stop. It's okay to be kind. it's okay to be considerate. And it is sometimes okay to be accommodating. That's your positive trait, right? But when taken to the extreme, it can lead to feelings of resentment. It can cause you to be frustrated, and it ultimately will cause you to lose self-identity. That is so important to know who and what you are. So people like me, we fall into the trap of this quote unquote nice girl syndrome due to the society expectations of us. Or some people say the gender norms that dictate how women should behave. I was watching Bridgerton and how they, you know, arrange the marriages and how they you have to abide by certain things in that millennium at that time. And I said to my wife, I said, I don't even think I could ever live like that, because it's almost like what we call a do girl. But from a young age, girls like me, we often were taught, because my grandmother was a stickler about being a lady, a young lady, on how to act like a young lady, right? But as a younger, we are taught to be polite. That's why they have those debutante balls. We are taught to be helpful and nurturing and leading us to prioritize the needs of others over our own. This sometimes can lack what we call assertiveness. It lacks the confidence and the self-worth, as well as a tendency for people like me to seek validation and approval from external sources, which is not necessary. I battle, y'all. This was me. And what's so profound about this, y'all, this was just recently. I just broke the cycles of change of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not embarrassed to say that. It doesn't have an age on it. It's not because I'm almost 60 years old. No, it ain't got nothing to do with that, girl. It's the fact that's how you were raised to be a young lady. You were raised to be a nice girl. And so I didn't realize this until my wife said something to me one day. She said, "Why you always feel you got to please other people?" She said, "The difference between you and I is I don't care what other people think." Ooh. And in my mind, y'all, I thought I didn't, but I still did. So that's why I did this. I said, let me see if there's something that can help me in aiding and getting rid of this and working on me. So you might say, well, how do I know if I'm a nice girl or have that syndrome? So it's something you might have asked yourself at one point, like technically there isn't anything wrong with being this, but you might have asked yourself this like years ago, or, you know, years ago or recently, am I too nice? Am I overly nice? See, the qualities praised in little girls, such as being quiet, kind, and agreeable, sometimes translate into the good girl syndrome when they grow up, which does become a problem. Some people say, well, not necessarily. It does become a problem if you are not knowledgeable about it. Kindness is already a quality that should be present in everybody, regardless of your gender, right? But how can you tell whether your niceness is still in the healthy realm? Because see, we're still battling that mental health, right? How do you know if it's in the healthy realm or if it started to become harmful for your own good? So what does it mean if you have the nice girl syndrome? It's exactly what it says, being a good girl. It's very self-explanatory. But it's when it becomes a syndrome that it becomes a problem because you are not able to turn it off. The nice girl syndrome is the manifestation of traits valued and praised among little girls because we are taught, again, as children, to a certain extent, that deviating from this trait will make us feel guilty and fearful of being judged by others, because it's been embedded in us since we were little girls. It's society's expectations of who women should be and how they should act. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be teaching our young girls on how to act, but the admirable trait all by itself can be harmful to the mental state. because women end up internalizing themselves and striving to please other people, even y'all, at the cost of our well-being. This was me. I did my research because this thing got good to me, y'all. I said, oh my God. I was always taught, one thing about my family, we are sticklers about yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. We are sticklers about staying in a child's place. We are sticklers about a young lady acting like a young lady. That's how I was raised. I am a lady. My mother has groomed me, her and my grandmother, on how to act like a lady since I can remember. My wife said something to me one day. She said, you're so graceful with your etiquette. And I said, that comes from my mom, my grandmother. My mother started showing me how to take care of my hygiene and my looks and my overall appearance since I think I was about 9 years old, y'all. I've always been a young lady. But again, the expectations of it, it internalizes our mental state. And so we end up trying to please other people instead of pleasing and taking care of our well-being. Now, I'm going to tell you there's some signs of the nice girl syndrome. Now, usually it manifests in things such as fear of speaking out, fear of disappointing others, fear of rejection, the need always to be or always to excel, or avoidance of any conflict or confrontation, and inability to refuse others. That's the sign of a nice girl. Those who suffer from the syndrome tend to resent those who can get what they want because they cannot do for themselves. We struggle with expressing our feelings or asserting ourselves because of the overwhelming fear of criticism and judgment. I used to hate being criticized and judged. Somebody said something to me one day. They said years ago, they say, you don't know how to take constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. That was offensive to me because I don't want to take it. But I realize sometimes it is needed in order to be the best version of you. Now, in relationship, it manifests in negative thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs, and our feelings. And behaviors about sex and intimacy can affect it as well, limiting the enjoyment of it all, the aspect of a relationship. See, society tends to think of nice girls as innocent and pure. A significant lack of positive sexual education can inhibit sexual response. So everyone always says that the nice girls don't when good girls do, should be taught healthy. See, you ever heard that? And let me break that down. You ever heard, oh, she's a nice girl, she's not going to be that sexually active, or she's a nice girl, she's not going to go out there on a limb and do this, or she's a good girl, she doesn't do. No. Don't label us as that, because we've already been groomed since we were children. There was one thing someone told me that years ago that it stuck with me. They said a good woman can change a man. That's not the truth. I used to think it was, but it's not the truth, because a good woman cannot change a man. The man has to want to be changed. And I'm going to do a topic on that, y'all. But we have that good girl syndrome because we should not be mirroring our lives around other people to make them feel better. And we're silently struggling. Good morning. Silently struggling because we're trying to satisfy somebody else's needs. Why? You need to satisfy your own needs. You need to prioritize your own agenda and make sure that you are the best version of you. Period. Because it's about a healthy mindset and a healthy lifestyle. I'm not saying that we can't be nice, but we have to be nice to a certain degree. So I'm going to give you 5 signs that you are suffering from good girl or nice girl syndrome. So how can you tell Jessica that you're suffering from the nice girl problems? Well, believing that you have to be nice to be loved. That's number one. Being a nice girl revolves around the idea that if you want to be loved and accepted, that you have to be nice and kind to everybody. But that's not the truth. However, it's a skewed accepted. You have to be nice and kind to everyone. However, that's not it. The concept. That's not the concept, because we cannot please everyone and everybody that we meet, no matter how hard we try. This concept is based on deeper ideas that tell you that you are not good enough to be loved, that you have to do things to satisfy other people, to meet their criteria first. It implies that you, that your worth only equals how much you have pleased the people that are around you. Stop. 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 Stop believing that you have to be nice in order to be loved. You have to love yourself first. If you don't love yourself first, nobody else will. You can't expect someone to love you when you don't even love the person that you are. Number two, forcing yourself to stay sensible and conventional. That's one of the characteristics of being drilled into the heads of nice girls, is that they have to stay quiet and not stand out. Always do as they're told and not question any of the norms. That was one of the things that was embedded into me. A child is supposed to be seen and not heard. That was one of the things that I was taught. But society is telling you to only do what everyone else is doing. I don't like following trends. Now, I follow an algorithm of trends on social media because I get paid, but it cringes me. I'm a leader. I don't follow people. I have my own identity. I had to fight to get it. But stop following doing what society say is recognizable. I don't do what everybody else does. Nice girls always stick to the instructions. And they stick to what's realistic in the instructions. We are not allowed to be silly and far-fetched, which that limits the creativity that we have. I think I was a teenager, and I used to go to a Shiloh Baptist church. And one of the mothers of the church, I laughed really, really loud. And she came over to me and she said, "Roxanne, a young lady never laughs that loud." And I said, "Oh, yes, ma'am," because I didn't know any better. Why can't I laugh loud? What's wrong with me laughing? But it was embedded in me. You don't laugh that loud because a lady doesn't do that. That's a lie. I can laugh as loud as I want to if it's funny to me, because that's a part of being healed and healing. Number three, struggling to say no. Is that you? Ooh, that was me. I could not say no for nothing till I realized that no was a complete sentence. Hey, y'all. No. I don't care how you say it. No means no. Now, although it is a common issue with both genders, this even more profound in those with the nice girl complex. We don't know how to say no. We have trouble setting boundaries for fear that it might end up pushing people away if we say no. That's why I don't deal with people now, because I say no. I turn it off when I get ready. Not when they want me to turn. No, no. I'm turning it off. I know it's difficult saying no. Especially if you feel obligated to that person to do something, or if you're worried about the other person's reaction. I get it. But it is important to note that you have the right to set that boundary. And when you set your boundaries, you prioritize your own needs and convenience at all time, because you are in control of you. This is very detrimental, y'all, for women. It ties into the need to always please others. Stop pleasing people. We essentially become doormats, because refusing and potentially getting into confrontation, it might rid us of this image of being a nice girl. And this makes it psychologically vulnerable for people like me, because it becomes a toxic trait. We become codependent. It's a form of abuse and manipulative and unhealthy relationships that we are developing because we do not know how to say no. No. Remember, it's a complete sentence and it's okay to set that boundary. Number four, setting high standards for yourself. That was me thinking that I needed to set these standards because people told me I had to do it. People told me I had to act this way. Those with this nice girl syndrome like me, we tend to put a lot of pressure on ourselves. That's why I suffer from all the isms that I have, y'all. Mm-hmm, good morning. Mm-hmm. This is yet another thing that stems from the want to always please other people. We never want to disappoint other people. I used to go places knowing I didn't want to go, but I didn't want to disappoint the people. Why? If you don't want to go, you just don't want to go. But it's embedded in me. Well, you don't want to hurt other people. You don't want to be offensive. You don't want to come off as standoffish. Why? If I don't want to go, I don't want to go. If I disappoint you, I do apologize, but sometimes I just don't want to. We tend to compare ourselves to others who have been successful and give ourselves a hard time when unable to achieve what others have. You have no time limit on what you can do for yourself. Your success is not predicated on anyone else's success. Stop following the trend. Stop mimicking others. Find your own identity. And if you find your own identity, then you can stand up to the norms of this nice girl syndrome. Since a young age, women have been pressured to look perfect and to avoid attracting negative feedback. What this does is it causes unhealthy behavior when you become an adult. When you become an adult, it's hard to break away from something that has been embedded in you since you were a little girl. And let me say this. I apologize to my children because I embedded that into them. My girls are ladies. My young girls are ladies. My babies are ladies, but I pressured that into them. And then that can become a resentment towards me because, mommy, we don't have to be perfect. And you absolutely are correct. You don't. Because life is going to come at you full force. And whatever way you need to tackle it, babies, y'all tackle it. Mommy had no better sense than to let you guys experiment the norm because I wanted you guys to be ladies. Number five, being afraid of upsetting others. This one was me. The idea behind the behavior of nice girls is that we are responsible for how other people feel. Mm-mm. No, we're not. We walk on eggshells. We bend over backwards to keep people happy. That was me, y'all. Excuse me. That was me. The second that there is a downward shift in the mood, they feel like they are somewhat to blame. I used to put blame on me all the time for other people's misfortunes. And I allowed them to do it over me. I won't go into detail with that, but that was an eye opener. And I talk about that in my new book. Nice girls mold themselves into a person that society wants them to be instead of becoming the person that they really are. The person that y'all see today is the person that I've been trying to be over 50 plus years ago. Hello. I am now living in my truth. I am now happy with who I am. Now, some people say, well, how? Because you're living in sin. Everybody living in sin. Good morning. What my sin is may not be your sin, but I guarantee you, you got a sin that's just as strong as mine. And who's to say that my sin is a sin? Ooh, I'm trying not to go there. Y'all forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Take that out my spirit. But trying to conform to what people want you to be and how people think you should look, what it looks like, because what it may not look like what you think it needs to look like. This is my life, and I'm going to mirror my life according to the way I want it to be. So how does it affect relationships? Well, in relationships, the nice girl syndrome can limit our desire to explore all aspects of life. It makes me believe that going beyond boundaries set by society will have me labeled as something dirty, something loony, something unworthy. And no woman wants to feel as if she is unworthy or she is not enough. I felt like that for almost 20 years, as if I wasn't enough. When I got cheated on, when I got abused, when I got beaten, I felt like I wasn't worthy enough. I thought that it was me. Meanwhile, it was never me. It was the company that I was keeping. Oh, my Lord. We have to be careful of the company we keep. Do y'all agree? You don't have to, because I'm going to agree all by myself. I learned that every company is not good company. Now I'm going to go on to the next one. But we suffer from this nice girl complex, and we cannot fully enjoy ourselves because we constantly judge ourselves of being careful of what we're doing and not going over those boundaries that people have set for us, what society has set for the norm. One of the things that I learned, that I'm learning, is that I don't have to sacrifice my life. Sacrificing a lot for fear of doing or saying something that might jeopardize relationships, I have thrown that into the sea of forgetfulness, because that's not what I want to be. I want to be able to stand on 2 feet and be able to say one no and mean it authentically and not feel bad about the decision that I made that I felt that was best for me. Sometimes it can be like a miscommunication gap with others if they don't understand why I'm saying it. And sometimes I feel like I should not have to say this in order for people to get it. If I say that this is not what I want to do, or I don't feel like doing it, or I don't want to go, then that should be suffice for people. See, the nice girl complex can take an emotional toll on you if you're not careful. It makes you feel anxious. And I told y'all last week that the Bible says to be anxious for nothing. It makes you feel lost, and it will absolutely drain you mentally. And when it drains you, it leaves you feeling emotionally burdened. You feel a burden for that particular situation or that circumstance. So I know you're probably saying, well, you know, this sounds like me. How can I overcome this? Well, it is possible for us to overcome this nice girl syndrome, okay? The problem is it does not come easy. It's not easy to guard this syndrome, which is very, very understandable, since the roots of this syndrome is something that women have internalized since we were little children. And undoing something that has had years to cement itself inside of our conscience is always easier said than done. That goes with, let me put a little fork in a row. That goes with relationships. Sometimes it's hard to get out of a relationship because you don't want to disappoint the other person. But what about them disappointing you? Good morning. It is embedded in you. And sometimes it's hard to say, I don't want this no more. I don't like this no more. I don't want to go there no more. I don't want this. Nothing. I just want to be me. I just want to be happy. I don't want the problems of the nice girl syndrome to affect me till I go into my grave, just being that quote unquote do girl. I don't want this anymore. And there are ways, y'all, that we can get over and through this. Number one, let's reassess our beliefs. We need to reflect and consider which of our beliefs are right and which are harming us, harmful. because it involves a lot of unlearning, desensitizing, and relearning. But it is so essential to overcome this syndrome. When you're dissatisfied, number two, find the root and act on it. Because this is when you actively stop letting people walk all over you. And I'm talking about jobs too. I'm not just talking about relationships and friendships and courtships. I'm talking all around. If you feel like certain decisions or certain situations make you uncomfortable, then do not be afraid to put a stop to it right away, immediately. Because it's nice to be empathetic and considerate of others and how they feel. But however, you must also learn to look after your own well-being, Jessica. Stop worrying about the well-being of others, because I tell you, at the end of the day, they don't give 2 cents about yours. You ever saw somebody that's a manipulator and a user, and they just try to use you and drain you till you have nothing left and you're like a dried up prune? Stop it. That ages you. My no was the best decision I ever made. It's clearing up my skin. It's making me feel better about me. I can hold my head up. Yes, I said no. Believe in you. Number three, this is very crucial, very critical. You should know your worth. What's your worth? Do you even know what your worth is? Or is your worth predicated on somebody else's worth of who you are or what you should look like? Stop letting other people decide your worth for you. You have to be confident in your decisions, even if people disagree. Y'all don't think I know people talk about me? They low rate me? I don't care. I used to. I don't care. Because I make decisions that's best for me. And that's family, friends, and foes. I just have to. Because I'm in a new way of living. Because my living, the way that I was living before, didn't work. Whew. It didn't work for me. That's why I became a life coach. Because I had a life coach. Y'all didn't know that because that wasn't your business to know. But my life coach helped me to pull out the things that I thought was unworthy to other people. And one of the things that she said to me, the problem is that you're putting them, they, instead of me and I. It's not about nobody else but you. Put yourself in this bubble that you've already put yourself in. Now I want you to allow the bubble to burst, and I want you to be able to walk in the aftermath of the burst and hold your head up and allow everything that remotely told you you couldn't do this, tell it it's a lie. I can do all things. I can do everything. And if I say I don't want it, I don't want it. If I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it. If I choose to be this way, then I choose to be that way. It's not predicated on what people think I should be doing or how I should be acting. Number three, believe in yourself. Again, this one was so profound. That's why I'm going back to it. This is the point where you have to know your worth. Y'all be confident in your decisions, even if they disagree. See, the moment we stop believing in ourselves or who we are or what we are capable of doing, then we strengthen our values. You strengthen the core of your very being and what you want for yourself. The society, they make you believe that you're not worthy of it. They make you feel like that you're not deserving of that, which becomes detrimental to our heart, our feelings, or it messes up the person that we want to be. Stop being afraid to fight for what you know is right. Some conflicts and confrontations might be terrifying to go through, but they are essential for your growth, baby. Hello. I used to worry about, well, if I don't do this, they're going to have something to say. Okay, let them have something to say. And this, and I'm not just talking about nothing real. I'm talking about years on top of years on top of years. And I'm talking about family, friends, everything. I used to be afraid to fight for my right. normalize saying, no, that's not my battle. No, I don't want nothing to do with that. See, one thing someone said to me, they said, where do you get your strength from? Because you make it look so easy. Baby, it ain't easy. But I'll never let you know it ain't easy. I'll never let you see that it's not easy. I'll continuously fight it because it's a spirit. Lord, I'm trying not to go there, y'all. But it's a spirit. And so I choose to fight it head on because I don't like conflicts. I don't like confrontations. That was one thing me and my daughters were talking about. I just avoid conflicts and confrontations because a lady doesn't do that, right? But at the end of the day, I'm not going to let anybody dictate what my life should look like or dictate how I should act according to their eyes. These are my eyes that God gave me. And it's about my personal growth. It's about my growth. It's about what needs to be done for me. It's always good to be good. I know that. However, like everything else, too much of it can be problematic with a K. You don't have to force and torture yourself to prove your kindness or who you are. You don't have to do that. Because see, we already battling things that people have no idea we're battling with. I ain't finna battle your opinion to me. No, I'm not. Because I don't have to. I am overcoming this nice girl syndrome. I'm freeing myself from the psychological and social pressure to be someone that people mostly don't like. I don't care anymore. I used to. Now, when I say I don't care, I care for people that I love and that I like. But I don't care for people who have an opinion over what I fought so hard to overcome. I've recognized the signs of the nice girl within me. And that is the first step to me overcoming this syndrome. I know it's easier said than done. It is not entirely impossible, though. It takes a lot of work. But what it does, it allows me to finally claim that I am a nice girl. And I know that I don't have to sacrifice my worth to prove it to nobody. And because of that, I am victorious. I'm healing. I'm a work in progress. Some days are good. Some days are better. Some days are bad. But it's okay. It's still my journey. Your journey is nobody else's but yours. When you allow people to read your book, and when I say read your book, read, you become an open book, then we allow people to have opinions. Sometimes people's opinions of us is not accurate because we allow them to see the outer layer. There's layers to us, and we fight daily. Introverts. Women or young ladies that deal with mental health. I battle y'all daily, but I'm getting better, better, and better because I just choose to make the best decisions for Jessica, not my wife, not my children, not my mother, not my siblings, not even for this world. I make decisions that make me feel good. And if it doesn't make me feel good, then I don't do it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm all this and that. I could be if I wanted to be. But I'm just a normal woman who just wants a happy life because I fought so hard for this life. My life is peaceful. My life is good. My life makes me happy. There was a time I was not happy with this life, with my life. But this life, I'm happy. I'm happy because I have the ability to be the authentic person that I am and not worry about judgment of others. You can judge, but it does not matter to me because I'm overcoming. I'm freeing myself from what society says I should be. That social pressure to be something that I'm not, I'm overlooking it. I was reading a post, and I'm gonna end. I was reading a post where someone wrote something, and I read it about two or three times, and after a while I said, they're trying to please other people. They're trying to be something that they're not. Lord, I don't want to be like that. I just want to be Jessica. You take the good, the bad, and the ugly, but this is who I am. I'm an introvert. I'm not claiming it, but I am. I suffer from depression. I suffer from anxiety. But I'm still a woman who has the power to overcome it all. And I'm not afraid to fight for my right because the conflict is not with no one else but me. Do I get scared? Yes. But I'm learning with each walk, each step, that it's okay to fall. All you got to do is just dust yourself off and get back up. This weekend when I was up at the festival, I have my knees are not the best. And I try to wear comfortable shoes that help in the aching of it and to help with the balance of my knees, because as you age, you know, your bones are disrespectful. But my legs swelled, my knees swelled, and it went all the way down to my feet. And my children and my wife had to help me back to the car because I couldn't even walk on it. And my wife said to me, are you going to be okay? I said, I am an overcomer. I'll be fine. Because like life, this will wear off and I'll get right back up and I'll continue to put that foot in front of the next foot and hold my head up. It doesn't matter. I am a conqueror because I have to be. So stop allowing society to make you feel that you're not worthy because of the syndromes or the isms that affect your life. If you feel that you have this syndrome, there are help groups out there that can help you mentally to overcome it. I will attach it to my show notes over on my website. Again, that website I have is www.empoweringherpodcast.com. Today, we just simply talked about how I overcame the nice girl syndrome. I want to thank you so much, so much for allowing me to be transparent this morning. Thank you for tuning in to another empowering episode of the Empowering Her Podcast. Now listen, don't forget, I do bring new episodes every morning. They drop at 7 a.m. So please mark your calendars. Join me as we continuously delve into inspiring stories and valuable insights to uplift and empower women all across this world. If you have enjoyed today's episode and you want to stay updated and connected on future releases, y'all be sure to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. You can also contact me on all of my major social media platforms for empowering content and behind the scene updates, as well as my show notes. Now remember, your support helps me to continue bringing this mission of empowerment to women to thrive in every aspect of their lives. So continue to spread the word, y'all. Share the love. And let's continue to uplift each other. Until next time, y'all stay empowered, stay inspired, and keep daring to thrive. Tell a friend that got a friend that already know a friend about the Empowering Her Podcast. I am out. This has been an Empower Her Podcast moment. Thank you for listening. Tune in every Monday starting at 7 a.m. on Spotify. And remember, your well-being is paramount. Stay empowered and join us next time.